our lives were forever changed when Ted Rogers revolutionized radio with Canada's first FM station. Soon, he gave us all the picture clarity of cable. The very first converter gave us all choice in an instant. We made Canada's first cell phone call, and soon so many others made theirs. With faster home internet, finally our lives could be shared online, in real time. We introduced the most advanced mobile networks this country has ever seen, connecting us all like never before. And traveling changed forever when we made it easy to stay connected and roam without worry. Then, Gigabit Internet gave us the speed for everyone in the family to enjoy all their favorites. And today, with 4K TV, we get closer to the games we love, with four times the resolution of HD. And we will continue to strive to be first, with innovations that forever change the way we all live. Because we believe the best is yet to come.
I know you're all waiting for the Rocky theme as we step down there, yeah. However, any case. So good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Rogers Campus and the Velma Rogers Graham Theatre. And for those on the webcast, thank you for joining us as well. I'd like to call this annual general meeting of the shareholders of Rogers Communications, Inc. to order. My name is Alan Horn, Chairman of the Board. And on behalf of the Board of Directors and Officers of Rogers, I'm pleased to welcome you to this year's shareholders meeting. I will act as chairman of the meeting, and our Chief Legal Officer, David Miller, will act as recording secretary. We will now commence with the formal part of this meeting. After we vote on the motions contained in the information circular and any other material, any other business that might properly come before today's meeting, our President and Chief Executive Officer, Guy Lawrence, and our Chief Financial Officer, Tony Staffieri, will review the company's recent results and discuss the priorities and objectives going forward. We'll then open the meeting for questions from shareholders. Following the conclusion of the meeting, everyone is invited to an informal lunchtime reception and product showcase that will be held across the foyer in our reception hall. This will provide an opportunity for you to meet and speak with Rogers officers and directors. With that, I would now like to introduce my colleagues on the board of directors who are present here today and would ask that they stand and be recognized. Bill Birchall, Bonnie Brooks, John Clappison, Guy Lawrence, Phil Lind, John MacDonald, Isabel Marcoux, David Peterson, Edward Rogers, Loretta Rogers, Martha Rogers, and Charles Sirwa. And I'd also like to welcome our new director nominee who is here with us today, Rob Burgess. Thank you. Moving on, I will now appoint Chris DeLima and Kay Harrison of CST Trust Company, Rogers Registrar and Transfer Agent, to act as scrutineers for this meeting. CTS Trust Company has provided proof of delivery to shareholders as required of the notice and proxy relating to this meeting, with the information circular and the 2015 annual report and financial statements having been made available to shareholders per the notice and access provisions of the securities rules. I've also received the scrutineer's preliminary report on attendance at today's meeting, and I'm advised that there are a sufficient number of shareholders and proxy holders in attendance to constitute a quorum. The scrutineers have also informed me that the number of shares to be voted by proxy against matters to be presented to this meeting is less than 5% of the voting shares outstanding. Accordingly, to expedite the voting, I will conduct it by a show of hands. I now declare this annual meeting to be regularly called and properly constituted for the transaction of business. As noted in the information circular, only holders of Class A shares or the proxy holders are entitled to vote on matters at today's meeting. Holders of Class B shares are, however, entitled and encouraged to participate in discussions during the meeting. The first item of business is the presentation of the company's 2015 annual report and consolidated financial statements, copies of which were made available outside of the auditorium. I now formally present these items to the meeting, including the report of the external auditors, KPMG LLP. I would ask that any questions from shareholders on financial statements be held until after the CEO and CFO presentations later in the meeting. Before we proceed with the election of company directors, on behalf of the board, senior management, the Rogers family, and all Rogers shareholders, I'd like to take a moment to recognize and thank Stephen Birch for the value he has added over his 5 years of service as a director on the Rogers board. Stephen, who is not here at the meeting today, retired from the board on March 10th and thus is not standing for re-election this year. His contributions have been many, and we all extend our sincere appreciation to Steve. I'd also like to recognize Rob Burgess, who is standing for election as a new director on the Rogers board. Rob currently serves on the boards of Adobe Systems Incorporated and NVIDIA Corporation. He previously served as Chief Executive Officer of Macromedia, an internet and multimedia software company that was purchased by Adobe in 2005. So a great resume. I'm pleased that we've attracted someone of Rob's character and caliber to the board and look forward to his participation and contributions in the coming years. We will now proceed with the election of 15 directors, all 15 of whom have been nominated and whose names are contained in the information circular. I now call on for nominations.
I nominate the following persons for election as directors of the company: Bill Birchall, Bonnie Brooks, Rob Burgess, John Clappison, Alan Horn, Guy Lawrence, Phil Lind, John McDonald, Isabel Marcoux, David Peterson, Edward Rogers, Loretta Rogers, Martha Rogers, Melinda Rogers, and Charles Sirwa, and move that they be elected directors to hold office until the next annual meeting of shareholders or until their successors are duly elected or appointed.
Thank you, Loretta. May I have a second?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to second the nominations.
Thank you, Edward. Are there any further nominations? Given that as there are no additional nominations, I declare the nominations closed. As the number of nominees is the same as the number of directors to be elected, I hereby declare that the 15 individuals nominated have been elected directors of Rogers Communications, Inc. until the next annual meeting or until their successors are elected or appointed. The next item of business is a resolution appointing the external auditors of Rogers Communications. May I have a motion with respect to the appointment of auditors?
Mr. Chairman, I move that KPMG LLP Chartered Accountants be appointed as auditors of the company to hold office until the next annual meeting or until their successor is appointed.
Thank you, Mr. Clapson. May I have a second?
Mr. Chairman, I second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Birchall. Having heard the motion, is there any discussion? Would all holders of Class A shares in favor of the motion please raise their right hand? Contrary, if any? I declare the motion carried. With the formal business of the meeting concluded, we will now proceed with some remarks from Guy Lawrence, Rogers President and Chief Executive Officer, and then from Tony Staffieri, Rogers Chief Financial Officer. Following these remarks, we will open the meeting for questions. I caution everyone that the presentations and discussion today may contain forward-looking statements. Such statements are based on assumptions as to the future and on management's current expectations and are naturally subject to risk and uncertainties. As suggested on the cautionary slide behind me, you should refer to Rogers' 2015 annual report. I'm now pleased to call on our President and Chief Executive Officer, Guy Lawrence.
So, thank you, Alan. Good morning, everyone. You know, every day I marvel at what an amazing company Ted Rogers built. The mix of assets, the innovative spirit, and the drive to win is why I wanted to work here. To me, it's all about winning, and winning consistently. You're either number one or you're not, and I came here to win. So here's the good news. We're starting to win again. And whilst there's still a lot more work to do, we're on the right path. Last year, I stood at this podium and introduced Rogers 3.0, our multi-year plan. This year, I'll update you on our wireless, cable, and media business, and I'll also tell you what we're doing on customer experience. I'll start with wireless. It's our largest business, and it was struggling, so fixing wireless was job number one. That's why we introduced an unprecedented number of initiatives, 15 to be exact, last year. We needed a boost of adrenaline to put us back in the game, and here's what we did. First, we repositioned our three wireless brands. The Rogers brand had lost its way, so we reaffirmed Rogers as a premium brand targeting families with extra value and a superior experience. We then looked at the growing millennial population and repositioned Fido to connect millennials to what they love most. At the same time, we injected new life into Chatter, helping new Canadians look for basic cell services at an affordable price. Once we clarified the role of our brands, we set out to differentiate ourselves. We added awesome content Canadians weren't getting elsewhere, and we gave customers a reason to choose Rogers. We then tackled international roaming, a huge customer irritant. For years, Canadians were afraid to use their mobile while travelling abroad. So we came up with an innovative solution, Roam Like Home, which lets our customers use their plan like they do in Canada. We first introduced the program in the US and then expanded it to over 100 destinations worldwide. Customers on Roam Like Home are twice as likely to recommend Rogers. And whilst imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, the competitive reaction has been a pale imitation of what we have created. Finally, we strengthened our network. Our highlight was the acquisition of Mobilicity, its customers, their spectrum, along with some key spectrum from Shaw. Solving this complex Rubik's Cube meant we could deliver a vastly better network in Western Canada and Southern Ontario. We introduced extended coverage, expanding our network in rural and remote areas by 56% so that customers' calls won't drop when they go out of town. We also extended our LTE footprint, which is now three times bigger than it was a year ago, because we may be the second largest country in the world, but we won't settle for the second best network. Overall, it was a busy and productive year for wireless. Despite a hyper-competitive environment, we grew revenue, won more customers, and started to regain momentum. In summary, we got our mojo back. Moving to cable, it's more of a mixed picture. Our cable business has been struggling for a number of years, and whilst that isn't new news, we are starting to change the channel on this one as well. To start, our technology is far superior to the twisted copper of the telco's offer. But the truth is, we've been outpriced and outmarketed. So we launched Rogers Ignite Internet, offering new plans, packages, and unlimited data. Our customers love the new service. It's only been a year, but over 60% of our customers have already moved to these new plans. Customer viewing habits have changed, and that means we need to change too. If you just look at our network traffic, it's grown by 450% over the last 5 years. On average, our customers have 11 connected devices in the home, and roughly 55% of the internet use is streaming video services like Netflix, ShowMe, and YouTube. Fast forward to 2020, traffic is anticipated to grow another 500%. Customers will have 20 connected devices in the home, and video streaming will skyrocket, representing 80% of our total network traffic. So the average family will double the number of devices in their homes. It's a lot of devices, driving a lot of demand, and that's why we introduced and announced gigabit internet last fall. 1 gig speeds means that customers can stream up to 5 HD videos whilst continuing to surf the web at the same time. By the year end, 1 gig will be available to every customer in our cable footprint. We'll reach over 4 million homes and 250,000 small businesses. All in all, good traction on internet. We grew revenue at a faster pace, attracted and kept more customers whilst investing in the future. On the TV side, there's a lot more work to do, so we've just started a journey to overhaul that business. First, we've introduced our new Navigator Guide, reaching 500,000 homes. Then, in a TED-like move, we announced North America's largest commitment to 4K broadcasting, including 500 hours of hockey, baseball, and TV programming. Beyond 4K, the next big milestone for TV is IPTV. It'll be everything your cable service offers today, but on a slick, state-of-the-art platform that's easy to use and personalized to your wishes. It will take your TV viewing to a whole new level, and we'll introduce it at the end of this year. So to summarize, great traction on internet and a clear path forward on TV, but more work to do in that area. Next is media, and it's where the company began. 56 years ago, Ted started this company when he bought CHFI. Since then, our media business has grown into an amazing powerhouse of top-notch brands, including everything from McLean's to 680 News to the Toronto Blue Jays. And whilst media only represents 15% of our total revenue, it's a core part of our strategy, and we'll use it to leverage the media assets to differentiate on cable and wireless. It's what I call One Rogers. Across the media industry, though, more and more advertisers are spending less and less on traditional media, and they're focusing more on digital. That means some parts of the media estate are growing, like sports, whilst other areas like conventional TV and publishing are on the decline. Given this backdrop, we've been on a path to grow sports and digital whilst reducing our cost structure in the conventional advertising areas. 2015 was a big year for media. First, Sportsnet became the number one sports media brand in the country. Second, we delivered our first full year of NHL, generating a 10% profit. And whilst I know we all wish that Canadian teams were in the playoffs, that's just the nature of sports, and they will be back, I hope. We view NHL as a long-term investment, and we continue to be pleased with it. Third, the Jays delivered a stellar run, propelling them to the postseason for the first time in 22 years. We look forward to that continuing this year. We value sports because Canadians want to watch it live, and advertisers love appointment viewing. We're also significantly expanding our digital content through services like Vice, ShowMe, and Texture. So some great wins in media, but like TV, there's a lot more to do. Rick Brace, our head of media, has a long-term mandate to reposition our media business, and I look forward to updating you on our progress this time next year. And last but certainly not least is customer experience, a subject near and dear to my heart. I remember when I first joined Rogers, I couldn't get in a cab, go to a dinner party, or even cross the border without hearing about our poor customer service. Everyone says Canadians are polite, but you might disagree if you saw some of the emails I got back then. At the heart of it, though, customers value their time, and they get angry and upset when companies waste it. So it's our goal to save our customers' time by being easy to do business with. It sounds simple. It's actually incredibly hard. Last year, we poured an extra $100 million into improving customer experience. We added 600 new positions, and we launched 10 new programs. We introduced Net Promoter Score, a company-wide metric that tells us whether our customers will recommend us. Every month, we contact 150,000 customers to see how we're doing, and we use their input, their feedback, to improve what we're doing. We then tackle the number one reason our customers contact us, and that is confusion over the bill. We launched an interactive, easy-to-understand bill that addresses common questions in a simple way. We also made a significant investment in self-service tools. The most successful of these was the launch of Facebook Messenger. It lets customers start a conversation, pause it, and then restart it again when it's convenient for them. And there's no elevator music, no rehashing of account details, and no long queues. These are just a few highlights of what we did in 2015. Now here's the result. First of all, the number of times our customers needed to contact us last year dropped by over 7 million during 2015. And we continued to see the biggest reduction in customer complaints to the CCTS, our industry ombudsman. In their most recent report, Rogers reduced the number of customer complaints by 65%. But we're not just getting fewer complaints, we're actually getting compliments too. We actually had 26,000 compliments in our call centres alone last year. That's new. Inside the company, there is a real feeling of momentum. There's a growing confidence that we can do this, that we can fix our customer experience one customer at a time. So overall for 2015, we had a good year. We re-established momentum in wireless and internet. We began our journey to fix TV and media, and we made good progress on customer experience, although there's more to do. But this is a journey, it's not a destination. And I joined Rogers because I wanted to help turn this company around, and we will. It'll just take a bit of time. 2015 has proven that we've got the right plan and we've got the right people. There is fire in our belly. We've tasted what it feels like to win, and we want more. Thank you to all of our 27,000 employees for your relentless commitment, and thank you to the family and to our shareholders for your support. A special thanks to Stephen Birch for his many contributions to the board, and of course a warm welcome to Rob Burgess as our newest board member. As Ted would say, the best is yet to come. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Guy. I now call on Tony Staffieri, our Chief Financial Officer. Tony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, everyone. This morning, I'll share with you an overview of our 2015 results, our first quarter results for this year, and why we continue to be well-positioned to deliver shareholder value in 2016 and beyond. In 2015, we established financial guidance for adjusted operating profit, CapEx, and free cash flow. As you can see on the slide behind me, we met or exceeded our targets in every category. Our team executed on what we said we would deliver for the year. As Guy described, Rogers 3.0 is a multi-year plan designed to re-accelerate revenue growth. We intend to continue our track record of translating this revenue growth into strong margins and cash flow, and ultimately increasing our returns to shareholders. While there is still work to do, we've already made some good progress toward our goals, reflected in a trajectory shift and improving fundamentals in 2015. We grew overall revenue by 4% to a record $13.4 billion and reported adjusted operating profit of $5 billion. We maintained strong margins and grew free cash flow by 17% to $1.7 billion. Wireless, our largest segment, was our first priority for Rogers 3.0, and we delivered solid progress in 2015 despite the backdrop of the double cohort and a very competitive marketplace. Wireless network revenue grew 2%, and our margins continued to lead the industry. We increased our share of postpaid customers with over 100,000 net new subscriber additions and reported 4% growth in revenue per account. In contrast to the industry, postpaid churn showed strong improvement as we moved throughout the year. In internet, the growth engine of our cable segment, we grew revenue by 8% and posted 37,000 net new subscriber additions. We announced plans to roll out gigabit speeds to our entire cable footprint this year at a cost of less than $50 per home. This stands in stark contrast to the time and investment our telco competitors will need to make and positions us well to earn attractive returns on our capital investments. And as Guy discussed, we are confident we can take back share in video over time as we continue to introduce improvements to our TV offerings, enhance 4K TV, and roll out IPTV towards the end of this year. Our media segment grew both revenue and adjusted operating profit last year on the back of sports success. With its solid growth trajectory, sports remain our focus for this segment, now representing over 50% of revenue and adjusted operating profit. Rogers has always made the necessary investments to maintain a position of leadership in the industry. We are emerging from a period of elevated capital spending. Just over $2.4 billion of CapEx in 2015 enabled us to deploy new spectrum, expand our LTE coverage, develop new products for rollout, and improve the customer experience. We have built an enviable block of spectrum at attractive valuations, including through last year's Mobilicity and Shaw transactions. This position will help reduce our capital spending needs going forward. As well, we expect capital savings as we continue to leverage procurement efficiencies from our unique strategic partnership with one of the world's largest telecom operators. With a lot of heavy lifting behind us, we expect CapEx to drift down over the next few years. Combined with AOP growth, we are well positioned to drive higher free cash flow. We expect to see continued improvement in our fundamental performance, but decided it was financially prudent to maintain our dividend rate until we make more progress on our leverage ratio toward our target of less than 2.5 times adjusted net debt to AOP. You can expect us to continue to be well-balanced stewards of the company's financial position as we move throughout 2016 and into 2017. Our balance sheet remains healthy, with nearly $3 billion of liquidity available to fund our operations. Our borrowing costs have been steadily decreasing as we continue to refinance our balance sheet at industry-leading lower interest rates. Since 2009, our average cost of debt is down 254 basis points, or about 35%, and the average term to maturity is over 10 years. The credit rating agencies reaffirmed our investment grade ratings and outlook late last year. And we continue to maintain our pension obligations in check at relatively low levels, which do not compete for our cash flow to the same degree as our telco peers. We're taking the right steps for Rogers to continue to be an attractive investment. And as you can see from this slide, our 2015 total shareholder return reflected the increasing confidence of investors in our plan and ability to execute going forward. Our shares outperformed our peers and the TSX composite with a 10% total return in 2015. We understand the importance our investors place on a reliable income stream, and we remain committed to increasing returns to our shareholders over time. We paid nearly $1 billion in dividends to our shareholders in 2015 and have paid nearly $7 billion since we initiated a dividend back in 2003. Turning to this year, our 2016 guidance reflects a continued growth outlook of 1 to 3% for revenue, 1 to 3% growth in adjusted operating profit, and lower CapEx spending to drive higher free cash flow. Yesterday, we announced our first quarter results for 2016. The wireless business continues to show solid momentum. Network revenue grew by 4% in the quarter, our best year-over-year growth rate in the past 3 years. We saw continued improvement in both churn and net additions. Against the backdrop of an intensely competitive market, we invested more this quarter to attract and retain high-value customers. In our cable business, internet is increasingly anchoring our cash flow growth, with revenue up 11% this quarter. In the media segment, revenue growth from our sports assets continued in solid form, although this was offset by pressure from the changing advertising landscape in traditional media. Here, we are realigning our cost structure to improve our profitability. In summary, I would like to leave you with the key themes that I believe are important for investors. We are reaccelerating revenue growth. We have already seen this in wireless and internet, and we have plans in place to drive growth in video and the enterprise market over time. We have maintained a track record of converting revenue into strong margins and delivered solid cash flow improvements, with further upside as our CapEx begins to drift down. Our balance sheet remains strong and enables us to continue to fund our growth. To close, we have made smart investments in an unmatched portfolio of assets and continue to monetize them at an increasing pace, growing our returns on invested capital and ultimately growing value for our shareholders founded on solid fundamentals. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Tony. Tony was actually telling me that today's his fourth anniversary of joining Rogers. So congratulations, Tony. Now, he was 6 foot two when he joined, but I'm not. Any case, well, thank you again, Guy and Tony, for your remarks. And now with that, I'll now open the meeting to the time you've all been waiting for to ask any questions from shareholders. Also note that members of Guy's leadership team are here with us today and are available to help address any questions that you might have. If any shareholders have a question, please identify yourself as either a Rogers shareholder or a proxy holder. And because the meeting is also being webcast, please be sure to wait until a microphone is handed to you before asking your question. Now, are there any questions?
Hello, my name is Harvey Glad. I'm from Ottawa. And I have a background with Rogers on a board that doesn't exist anymore called the Media Board. Mm-hmm. And I want to congratulate Guy Lawrence and the team on a wonderful, successful year, and things look great for the future. I'm asking a question, however, as a customer. I have two postpaid phones and one pay-as-you-go phone. If one calls the regular or the Rogers number, one of the first questions asked, if this is for pay-as-you-go, press 1. And then if there's a problem, you're not able to speak to anybody to deal with that problem. So I called back the regular Rogers number and connected with billing. And that person told me, I'm sorry, I can't deal with that. I'll have to transfer you to somebody else. So after about 5-10 minutes of very repetitive, irritating music, I finally did get somebody to help me. So I thought maybe there's a way of correcting this for your pay-as-you-go customers. And so I just wanted to pass that on. And I know you're concerned about customer service and customer satisfaction.
So thank you for the question, and apologies particularly for the elevator music. Without boring you about why it happens, the people who handle postpaid are in a different call center to the people who handle prepay, and they can't access each other's systems. But to be fair, that shouldn't be your problem. So let me just take that, and Deepak and I, who run customer care, we'll have a look about how we can solve it for you.
Thanks, Harvey. It's good to see. Are there any more questions? Just wanted to.
Thank you for this opportunity to speak. My name is Stan Kralnick. I've been a longtime Rogers subscriber and a Rogers shareholder since I bought debentures more than 20 years ago. I'm here today. I rarely attend shareholders meetings, and I'm not really sure what the protocol is, but I'm here today because of customer service. I want to share with you what I went through recently to get Show Me service. I got an email from Rogers telling me I was entitled to Show Me service for free. I called Rogers. 4 hours on the phone, 4 days, speaking to 6 representatives, before I finally got the service. It included four different tickets telling me that I had the service. I got several phone calls from Rogers following up to make sure I had the service, which I never did have. What I found most interesting in speaking to the representatives is how they contradicted each other. One representative told me there's a glitch in the system, and that's why I wasn't getting the service that I was getting. Another representative said the other representatives didn't know what they were doing, and he would solve the problem for me. So my concern is, a longtime Rogers customer, I feel that the representatives at the service desk really need to be trained, first of all, not to put each other down, but to wait 4 days for a service that was free and said it would be very easy to get, really unacceptable.
Shall I take that? Thank you. Well, okay, I can respond. So first of all, sorry that happened. I have to say that's not our typical experience, but clearly not good enough. But if you, when we finish the board meeting, if you wouldn't mind, Deepak, who's just put his hand up here, if we could just get your details. Can you put your hand up again, Deepak? If we could just get your details, sir, because what we need to do is to go into your account and find out what specifically happened. Because everything, if you like, that happened to you is downstream of the first issue. If we cracked the problem in the first place, if it worked, then you wouldn't have had to have called the call center and everything downstream wouldn't have happened. So if you could just make sure we connect with you afterwards, that would be very useful. Thank you for the feedback, and I'm sorry that we wasted your time.
Neil Palmer, shareholder and customer. Just to follow up on the comment the gentleman just made about customer service, I find the one thing from a customer perspective that's a little annoying is that when you call in, you're assigned a ticket number, and often you get a call back a week or two later or an email, and it will reference a ticket number. This ticket number has no relation to the one you were given on the phone. Apparently, they are consolidated into other numbers, and all you get back is a comment or a voicemail saying, ticket number XXXXX, we're still working on the problem, blah, blah, blah. The problem being that there's no brief description of that, and if you have multiple tickets open, you don't recognize the number, you have no idea what they're calling you about. So just that's just a little addition there to the customer thing. And I understand complaints are down. Everything seems to be good with the results, with one exception, and I'd like to concentrate on the cable TV section.
Yeah.
Which, coincidentally, I believe CCTS still has, not at this point, no authority over. So I think that's one area to, you know, before you pat yourselves on the back too much, just remember that there's a lot of cable TV subscribers who can't complain through CCTS yet. It's been common over the last few years to blame OTT for the loss of subscribers. I'm going back and comparing the annual report numbers from Rogers' loss of subscribers with the recent Convergence Consulting Group report that came out this month. I'm sure you're familiar with that. In 2012, there was a gain across the country in Canada of 32,000 subscribers, yet Rogers lost 83,000 subscribers that year. One thing that comes to mind that year is it was the year Rogers rolled out RTN to replace Sarah. That could be described as lipstick on a pig, putting a prettier interface on a software that was reasonably stable and had a lot of good features. A lot of those features were dropped. As a customer, I can only describe the rollout of RTN as untested code, a disaster. It wiped out recordings on many customers' PVRs. So let's just sort of leave it at that at that point. 2013, Rogers lost 13,000 subscribers. Sorry, the industry lost 13,000 subscribers, yet Rogers lost 87,000. In 2014, the industry lost 115,000 subscribers. Rogers lost 89.5% of that share. And in 2015, again, the customer share loss is up again. Every year, the percentage has gone up and up and up for the loss of cable subscribers. And last year, Canada lost 1.5% of their TV subscribers. Rogers lost 6.75% of theirs. I think one area that is being overlooked here is a repetition and a failure to learn from history of what happened with the RTN rollout, and that is Navigator, which I understand you described as fairly well received by the customers. I would beg to differ on that respect. I think if you analyze the numbers, the percentage of customers with PVRs who are totally dissatisfied with that are, I'm sure, are much higher than those who just simply use the guide. The guide itself looks good, works fairly well, but the PVR function in Navigator is a disaster. Again, more features have been dropped that were in the RTN code. There are lots of bugs in the code. The rollout, again, can only be described as an untested, unmitigated disaster. I'm sure you're aware it was held up after it was initially rolled out in July. Then it started again in December. The rollout was again held because of another disaster, including PVRs going into a coma after 3 hours and having to be unplugged and rebooted. And then the rollout was finally again resumed and forced down customers' throats whether they wanted to or not. Leaving the tile-based interface alone, which Microsoft found out to their displeasure that that works on touchscreen devices. It does not work very well with televisions and remote controls. That seemed to be the sole purpose behind this recent upgrade. Put pictures on the screen, make everyone happy. The pictures themselves, half the time they aren't there. You may have three or four or five tiles for the same program. Some have the images, some don't. So even that part of it doesn't work properly. PVR maintenance becomes a huge problem, especially for whole home PVR users, as there's no longer any indication of which PVR your recordings are on. If one of your PVRs is getting to like 90% full, you do not know which PVR any programs are on. You can't maintain it. The only way is to unplug one of them, reboot the other, and then maintain your recordings, and then go back and do it again. As well as that, we've lost the ability to see the date and time of programs. Program descriptions are cut off after two lines for series recordings. Again, this whole thing seems to be lipstick on a pig, poorly tested, poorly implemented, poorly designed in the first place. I'd like to know who's behind this and who's responsible for the very, very poor implementation and testing of this code. Was it Rogers internally? Was it SPL? Who's responsible? Who is being held to account for this? And why have the customers been treated with utter contempt and disrespect in this area? Like, there was a letter from Ron Perotta before this was rolled out back last year, touting how it's going to make everything easier, how there'll be fewer keystrokes to do anything, which is totally untrue. It was rolled out with fonts so small, many people with disabilities couldn't read it. Closed captioning was hard to get a hold of or change or turn on when programs were being recorded. Half of the guides that are online are incorrect. So why has Rogers not had the courtesy to indicate to customers that there are problems, we apologize for this, this is what we're doing, this is when you can expect results? Basically, management has just had their head in the sand on this and totally denied there's any problem with it whatsoever. Customers don't know when to expect a change, and that's why, despite the fact that you mentioned many customers have well received this, your own community forums indicate thousands and thousands of complaints from customers about Navigator. Now, I realize this is a stopgap on the way to IPTV, but there's no excuse for rolling out for a second time in 4 years poorly tested, untested code, wipes out customers' recordings, etc. And again, just like before, no indication of when we can expect fixes, who's responsible, how much did Rogers pay for this disaster, are they seeking their money back, what is going on with this?
Okay, comprehensive. So just to, let me just pick off some of the side issues and then go to the core of your questions. So you're right that the CCTS doesn't cover cable complaints. Just so you know, cable complaints, not in your case, but in general, are also down. In fact, we actually lobbied that the CCTS had their mandate extended to cover cable, and that's going to happen, in fact. So it's not that there's no lack of willingness. That will just come, and that had to come through the CCTS, but they've agreed to do that, as I understand it, later this year, yeah? Yeah. September, there you go. Second thing is I don't think I hit in my speech that we've had issues on the cable side. I'm talking now in the macro side, and we've had losses over multiple years, even way back before I arrived. So that's true. We recognize it, and we need to fix it. So as a shareholder, I'm telling you, we're going to fix it. So on a macro level, we will get that fixed over time. Just on your point about the growing of subs, you've got to remember that sometimes when estates are built out of footprint and all the rest of it. The other operators benefit from increased customers, which we could never access because if they're in Vancouver, we don't operate in Vancouver. So some of the reason that you get the deltas of people growing their bases versus us is because of the footprint within which you operate. But nevertheless, we've not done a good job, so I'm not going to try and hide it. To the specifics of what you're talking about, so on the Navigator Guide, you've clearly had, sounds to me like the worst of the worst. I mean, to be clear, we measure the response rates of the customers, so 78% of our customers actually like Navigator, and we know that on the PVR issue, it was around 11,000 people that had an issue with it initially. So, but it sounds to me like pretty much everything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong in your case. In terms of who's responsible, I'm responsible. If you want to hold anyone accountable, it's me, because I run the company. So, and don't think that we sit with our head in the sand. So if you ask my engineering team, they wouldn't say that the meetings they attend with me when we see these issues are anything about holding their head in the sands. So yes, we have a whole bunch of software providers behind us that are providing us with code, and they test it, and clearly not good enough, but at the end of the day, the responsibility is with me. So the only thing I can say to you is I recognize a lot of what you're saying. I think you've had a particularly bad experience, which is not necessarily reflected across the entire estate. But nevertheless, we have a lot of work to do, and that's why we're working on the IPTV product and continuing to work on stabilizing and refining the product we've got. Simple as that.
Maybe I could take this offline a little. If you can identify someone, I can maybe discuss a few specific concerns with after the meeting.
Yeah. Happy to. Happy to.
Thanks very much for that. Just going back to the prior question or comment about the protocol at this meeting, there is no protocol as such. It's an opportunity for all shareholders to ask questions of management and senior management. So if there are any questions, please say feel free to raise your hand.
Hi, I'm...
Yes, it's open.
I'm John O'Grady, a proxy holder for my wife. I just wondered if you could give us some guidance as to what the plan is for increasing the dividend rate. What metrics are you looking at? What kind of triggers should we be watching for, that kind of thing?
Yep. Thank you, Mr. O'Grady, for the question. We've been fairly consistent in terms of a couple of key points. As we're focused on increasing cash flow, and as we increase cash flow, we are focused on maximizing returns to shareholders, both in terms of share value as well as cash return to shareholders. We're not happy where our balance sheet is today and the leverage that we sit with. We ended the quarter, the first quarter of this year, with leverage of 3.2 times, and we'd like to see progress on that leverage down towards 2.5 times before we're confident in increasing the dividend. So that's the primary criteria that we're looking to before we make that decision. That doesn't mean we have to wait until we get to 2.5 times, but we'd like to see meaningful progress towards that in making the assessment.
Okay, thanks, Tony. Are there any further questions?
Chinese.
Could you speak up a little bit, please?
Okay. I am Chinese. I come from China, Beijing. So everybody know they grew up pretty fast. I just wondering, Rogers is a very successful company. I just want to know, is Rogers have any plan, maybe not to just go now or, soon, but have plan? For China, because China had big market. I know the politics is totally different. So I guess pretty much sure, and like America, like Canada, they all, it's not comfortable with Chinese politics. But I grew up for a long time. I know it's totally different, but their top is very good. I just want to know, is like Rogers has any plan there?
Yeah, so good question. So we're currently very much focused on Canada. because we still believe there's a lot of potential in Canada. I used to work for another company that had a stake in one of the Chinese mobile companies, and it requires really significant capital to build the networks in China because of the geographic size of the country in China. So we don't have any current plans at the moment because we see lots of opportunity here. The other thing is in China is that the government controls the three companies and the rate at which they're allowed to expand. And the figures are quite staggering. We used to add 1 million customers every 30 days in China. And therefore, it requires a huge amount of capital, not just to build the networks, but to also build the support systems in terms of care and so on and so forth to be able to support customers there. So the short answer, unfortunately, for now, is no.
Thanks so much. Do we have any further questions? Well, thanks, thanks very much. If there are no further questions, this has certainly been a banner year in terms of questions for Rogers. And I'd like to thank everybody who raised the questions. It's great for management, senior management, and the board to hear directly from customers in terms of the issues that and challenges that we have in front of us.
Just before you wrap up, was it Mr. Palmer that? Yeah. Dirk Verbitsky is just. Dirk, if you, Vosler, he's just putting his hand up there. He's going to meet with you afterwards just to discuss this, okay? So if you could go to the room behind us, then Dirk will pick up with you. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Guy. So thank you for attending today's meeting of your company. We now invite you to join our directors and members of senior management for a reception. So please follow the direction of staff to the hall across from the foyer as you leave this auditorium. We look forward to seeing you there. So that concludes today's meeting. Thank you very much.